This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Your alternative talk radio contact. The Planet. KGRARadio.com.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Well, no, Bobby, it's so good to speak to you again. As I mentioned earlier, we have known each other for a very long time, anywhere between 5 and 7 years. I'd say 6 or 7 years probably by now, because you were around and we were buds back when I was still on Sasquatch Chronicles. And you've always been a huge support and a friend of mine. And when I put the post up all over the socials, somebody actually, I think, tagged you in the post. It was a post calling for more Bigfoot encounter stories, because I feel like I haven't done very many of those as of late, and I was really missing it. And it was nice of you to get in touch and say, I'd love to come on into the fray and share my Bigfoot encounter story. So, Bobby, wherever you want to start, however you want to do this, is totally up to you. But the floor is yours.
Okay. I've had 6 encounters so far, and I don't know if you call that lucky or unlucky. Sometimes I think it's unlucky.
Right.
They seem to be attracted to me. But half the time when I'm seeing them, I'm doing things that people don't normally do. It was either 2 times we're camping, and all the other times was up deer hunting with my family. My dad and grandfather's had an encounter the same place as I have. And my cousin has had one in the exact same spot I had mine, one of my encounters. And my aunt had one, but it was up here above Sonora. That's where I had my first, and my last one was up here above Sonora as well.
And all of these were in California?
Yeah, all in California.
And the first and the last one were in Sonora. How far north is that?
Above Sonora.
I'm not familiar.
I'm in Modesto. Well, if you were in San Francisco, it's by Yosemite.
Oh, okay.
It's probably 30 miles north of Yosemite.
Okay.
That'd be a good estimate. That's the that's the one that's closest to me where I had my first and last one, and my aunt had hers. But all the other ones were up in Northern California, near Susanville.
Susanville. Okay. I'm just trying to get an idea of where
it's about 80 miles north of Reno.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's way north.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's hear about, I guess we'll start at the first one, huh? Two that you were camping, and then the rest you were hunting, which you hear a lot of times.
Yeah.
That's the situation with these things, right? So yeah, let's hear about these things.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do them in order as they happened. The first one was here above Sonora, and it was July of 1976. I was 12 years old. We had went camping with two other families, and I always slept in a tent. So where we went was a primitive campground, no utilities whatsoever. There's a big creek that ran through, and we were camped in a U-shape. There were two campers, trailers along the creek. I was at the bottom of the U, up against a big, huge pine tree in my tent, and then my parents were in a motorhome on the other side. And it was a full moon, or just a day or two shy of it. I'm not looked and seen. It was a full moon, but like a day or two shy. And I'm guessing 1 to 3 in the morning, somewhere in there, I heard crunching sounds like the roads there are made from lava rock, where they put lava rock, so it's loose lava rock.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk on it, you hear that crunch, crunch, crunch. Well, I heard it on the road because we're not very far off the road camping, but I couldn't tell if it was coming from the road down the hill on the road or off the big hill and then walking onto the road. But I heard the crunch, 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 and then it went off the road onto the hard dirt. You could hear the heavy footsteps on the hard dirt, and then it walked down to the creek. Well, when it was at the creek, it's walking on those river rocks, the ones that are like your fist size or two fist size put together. And you could hear it, the rock shifting under it as it walked along, and it went behind the other two, or behind the two campers that were near the creek, and it stopped like straight across from me by the creek. Then it got quiet for a few seconds, and then you heard a click, 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 and a pause, and then click, click, click. It was like 3 or 4 times in sets of 3. It was rocks. You could hear it picked up 2 rocks and was banging them together. At this point, I don't know what it is. It's just weird. And then it quit, and then it started walking again, and it's walking right towards me. I can hear it. You can hear the heavy footsteps walking right towards my tent. And so, you know, I'm panicking, you know, just scared shitless. And my I had a little puppy in the tent with me, and it was sound asleep. It didn't know what was going on. But the tent light or the moonlight was shining on the back of my tent. And this thing walked right in, right behind my tent, and the shadow hit my tent. I got it from like about the chest down, and you could tell that it had, you know, big long arms, and you could tell it was tall, and it had fairly long hair, and it was matted. You could tell that it was matted by the shadow on the tent. When I seen that, I screamed, and it did not finish going across. It shot straight out away from the tent. And then my dad came out with his gun and kicked open the door to his motorhome, and the picnic table was there. He almost saw it, thinking it was something. But I made him go out and check that the coast was clear. And when it was, I ran out of the tent and slept in the motorhome that night. But we all went home the next day, but I looked. There was no evidence. There's no way you could tell, because the ground is that hard packed clay, and everything else is lava rock and rock.
Right.
There was no way to leave impressions.
You even saw the matted hair on it. So it was a pretty dirty, unclean Bigfoot, if you could see the hair being matted like that then.
Yeah, it was probably 10 feet from me on the other side, you know, between us. So, but yeah, I could definitely see the very fine detailed on it, on the impression of the shadow left on the tent.
Did it make any noises at all?
And not other than that clicking of the rocks and the walking sounds. There was no other noises.
What do you make of the rock clacking? Do you think it was telling other Bigfoot that, yeah, I'm over here, I'm checking things out? Or what do you think that was?
I'm thinking it was saying that, hey, there's some people over here where I'm at. And maybe the clicker was how many, the clicks together were how many units there were, like four, there were four things, possibly.
Right, because you have the motorhome and then three tents.
One tent and two other campers. Huh. So, and it did it three to four sets in sets of three.
Interesting. So, that's an interesting thought.
So I think we're just letting others know that we were there. Then, let's see, my next encounter, which one was this? Oh, yeah, this was a weird one. Okay, this now we're back. We're in 1979, 80, somewhere right in there. Could even be 78. We were up in the Northern California one. We were doing, like I told you, I weird places that people don't normally go. When we deer hunt, one of the things that we do is you send some people on top of a mountain, mm-hmm. and then you put other people down at the bottom of the mountain, and the people on top walk down making noise to drive the deer down to the people below and hoping they see a buck and shoot it. And I was at the top having to go down and make noise and stuff to scare out some deer. Well, I walked through a bunch of manzanita. It's, you might be familiar with it. It's got rusty colored bark, and they get anywhere probably up to 12 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bush. I walked through that, and there was like a short clearing of maybe 20 yards, and then into the nightmare forest, which is. It was an old burn area, and they had replanted the trees, and they planted them probably 3 feet apart, but they didn't go back and trim them, and they were already like 25 or maybe more feet tall. So all the live branches were waved up, and all the other stuff was dead inside, and they were so close together, it was like walking into darkness. At nighttime.
So it was a nightmare forest. And, I like that nickname.
Yes. So I was in there. I got in there, I don't know, maybe 20 yards, 25 yards into it. And all of a sudden behind me, I hear the Tasmanian devil going. So kind of like the Sierra sounds, but mine was all just like sounding like the Tasmanian devil. So I turned around, I'm looking, and it's coming from the manzanita, where the manzanita was. I was just walked through, and you could hear it, and it made that noise. You could hear it just like walking until it got out of sound range. I was heading from north, heading south, and it was going from the west heading east. So I got it when it started, and then all the way till it went out of range of my hearing, and I didn't know anything about Bigfoot, what they did. I just thought it was the weirdest thing in the world. That's why I remembered it. And then later on, I, you know, hear the Sierra sounds and some of the other stuff. And oh my God, that's what it was. So,
who were you hunting with at that point? Your father and maybe uncles and cousins and things?
Yeah, exactly.
And did you tell them what you heard?
Dad,
No, that time I didn't. I did tell them on my first encounter when it was camping,
mm-hmm.
and they said it was a bear. No, that was not a bear. Bears don't pick up rocks, and they don't stand up and walk and swing their arms. And
did you see in that first one? I forgot to ask you. Did you see it mostly in profile, or was he was he ever facing you straight on so you could see how wide it was?
No, this one I couldn't see how wide it was. Fifth encounter, I got to see how wide one was, but on this one, no, I just got to see the side profile and the arm swinging. So he was very hairy. This one was probably, its hair had to be at least 4 inches long on the body portion that I saw. It was pretty long and shaggy.
Yeah, as far as that samurai chatter goes, that would be super freaky to hear in the woods. I've only heard maybe possibly 3 syllables of samurai chatter up in Washington State, but that was only 3 syllables, and that was really incredibly cool and freaky to hear. But to hear an entire slew of that, I think would be really traumatizing, especially if you're already in this so-called nightmare forest that you didn't even like that area very much.
Yeah, but the only thing that saved me from having that was not knowing what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I didn't see it. I just heard it, was walking through, and it had nothing to do with Sasquatch at all in my mind.
Right. Not until later on you figured it out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If I knew it at the time, then I would have been terrified.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not hunting anymore, at least not in here.
Yeah. So that was 1 and 2, and number three was, it was also somewhere, it was after the second one, it was probably 79 to 80, somewhere right in there. Again, we were doing a drive, and I was on top of the mountain scaring stuff down. I can remember my uncle was next to me. He was in another clear cut. We were walking down the hill, and we ran into clear cuts. He took one, I took another, and I walked on probably the left side of mine up against some trees. And so in the middle, it was probably like 2 football fields wide and maybe 150, 200 yards long. And then there was like a row of trees, probably 20 feet or so wide. And then my uncle's along the edge, and then I heard a growl. I mean, this was the deepest growl. It vibrated me like bass music when somebody plays the bass music in a car. It was that feeling. It was the lowest growl I have ever heard anything do, even recordings of other stuff I've listened to. Nothing has matched how deep this thing was. And it, when it did it, I flipped around and I'm looking, I'm scanning the manzanita that I came out of a tree line, and I saw absolutely nothing that made that noise. I got away from the trees. I walked into the center of that clear cut and then started walking back down. And then I saw my uncle over in the one he was in. So I felt much better, and I finished walking down. That one I didn't tell anybody about either, because I'm thinking probably bear, but it couldn't have been a bear, because a bear will not make you vibrate from, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 yards away from where I was, and it would have been. And it was just too deep. Bears have this certain tone that's in with their growl that you can distinguish that it is a bear, and this did not have that. It was nasty growl. It was bad.
Bobby, do you think there's any way that your uncle may have heard it, and then each of you just decided not to talk about it?
No, I don't think he would have heard it, because he was probably a good 80 yards away or 100.
Okay.
And this was not a really loud, it was just deep and aimed right at me growl.
Do you think it was bordering on, you know, you hear a lot about infrasound. Did you feel any physical effects besides, you know, that you were actually vibrating from the volume of the sound?
No, just the vibrations. That's it.
That's got to be pretty humbling. Because, you know, a bear is powerful and they can make pretty impressive noises. But to hear a growl that deep, that's definitely nothing that I've heard. I've heard various strange sounds, which you are well aware of, but that were impressive. But that's something I've not experienced.
Yeah, you know how when something like a dog will growl, like really fast sounding growl. This one was like if you've ever heard like a cat or something growling under their breath, is kind of
like it's coming from an odd place almost, right?
Yeah. That's how that one sounded. So
again, probably good that you didn't see that, right? Whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been good. Now, my fourth one, this is my worst one. This is, you know, that, what's it? I think his name was Mike Woolley or something that recently died a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
That had the one in the tree standing counter.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's kind of like his.
Oh, boy.
So we had been hunting up there during the ox like we normally do at the beginning of the season. And this was my junior year, so it would have been 1981. And I found this tree stand by this pond. And I had no way to get to it because I didn't have a vehicle. So I was riding, hunting with other people. But we were going to come back up at the last weekend of the deer season. So I would have had vehicle and I was wanting to sit in that stand. So my uncle, my future brother-in-law, and me all came up. We all had our own three-wheelers. And I drove to this stand. We were there for 3 days. First day, I saw does and fawns. The second day I went there, when I was driving, I ran my hand hit a brush. It's called buck brush, and it's got big thorns. And it ran it up my knuckle and my hand and my finger. And it was the one that I had to pull the bow string. So I just went ahead and got up in the tree and tried to match the hole up. Thorn and hole were no longer matched up together. It just ended up pushing in to my knuckle deeper. So we had to get out of the tree, go back, wait for people to come back from their hunting trip, go to the hospital, and they did exploratory surgery. And they just kept doing slices until they finally found it and pulled it out. So that now my pinky's in a sling, or, you know, a splint. The last day I go up there on my three-wheeler, I park about 100 yards from the tree stand, and I start walking up to it, and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I better go to the bathroom before I get up there. So I go to behind the tree stand where I don't think any deer will be coming from. So I go back there, do my business, get back to the tree stand. I climb it, and just as I was actually in the process of sitting down, about 25 feet behind me came this roar from hell. Imagine the sound of a T-Rex. You know how intense that is? But like a lion sound. And it was right behind me. I couldn't see it because of the branches, but it would have been able to see me from like waist down. So I finished very slowly sitting down, and I'm scared to death, and I, you know, really slowly turn and look, and I can't see anything because of all the branches. So I don't want to move or anything because I don't know what's there. And I'm just, you know, I'm still turned sideways, and I'm watching the spot. So I'm there like for 15 or 20 minutes or so looking right there, and it's like I said, about 25 feet right behind me. And then 15 or 20 minutes later, that sound again, but this time it's in front of me, to the left, in a clear-cut area with the pond right in front of me. And this thing is way at the far left end of it. So now I'm concentrating. I'm watching over there. I think, you know, it's snuck around, and it's now sitting, standing over there, growling at me. So I'm watching that area. I don't see anything. And all of a sudden, out of the peripheral vision of my left eye, I see something tall and black walk off the road into the woods, heading towards the second sound. So it was the first one that was behind me going to meet the second one. And that was all. There was no more sound, no more nothing. So I waited like an hour and a half or so, because I got there about 3 to 3:30. And I did not want to be in that tree stand when nighttime hit.
Can't blame
so
you there.
So I waited like that hour and a half, and I... As soon as I hit the ground, man, I was running for that three-wheeler. I didn't bother to look in the woods. It could have been standing right there waving at me. But I got on that three-wheeler and got out of there. That was my worst one as far as being close.
Right, and the length of time. I mean, you were there for quite a while, and this is going on, and you knew it was something massive. Before you even saw it.
Yeah.
How tall do you think that was?
I saw it again the next year. It was my fifth story. He was about 10 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Go ahead and tell that one, and then I can just ask questions about both of them. Holy smokes.
Okay. 1982 was my fifth encounter. I was on the same road that my tree stand is on. This time I was in the back of a truck. We were hunting from the back of the truck. It was me in the back looking down the hill on the driver's side. My sister was on the other side of me looking uphill. My dad was driving, and I can't remember who was the passenger in there was with him. But we're on a road that, or a hill mountain that was inclined about 45 degree angle. And it was an old burn that had grown back with manzanita and occasional trees out there that were probably 15 to 25 feet tall, somewhere in that range. So I'm looking down and she's looking uphill, and the road is only wide enough for one vehicle to travel, and the brush is touching at least one side of the truck when you're driving through. Well, it just so happens I happened to glance over at her side, and there was like a 6-foot incline or cutout in the bank where they made the road. It was like a 6-foot wall there. Well, about 2 or 3 feet back from the edge, there was like a stream of water, like somebody turned on the water hose and had it angled up, and it was shooting up out of the ground probably about 8 inches. And then curving back down to the and going in the ground, but it wasn't running off the hill. So it was somehow going back into the ground before it ran off. And so it was like a water faucet out in the middle of nowhere, just squirting up out of the ground. And so we went a little farther, about 50 more yards, and I'm looking down on my side. And when you're driving in there, when you come up by trees, you got to watch and make sure the big trees that when they're hanging over the road that they don't knock you off, or if you can hold your arm up to block yourself, or you have to duck. Well, we were coming up on a big set of old growth trees on my side that were hanging over the road. Before we got there, I looked to see what I was going to have to do, duck or hold my arm up, and my eyes caught a Bigfoot face staring at me. He was probably 5 to 10 feet off the road, probably 10 feet. And he was behind a tree that was probably 20 feet high or so. And he had the top of it pulled over with his right hand. And he was looking at me, and I could see his left shoulder down to about his elbow as well.
and it was jet black, like the color of a gorilla. His skin was the color of a gorilla, and he had totally, the eyes were totally black. You could not see any white whatsoever. And this thing was just as surprised or scared as I was. Yet it had its head tilted back, and its eyes were wide, wide, wide open, like it was like, oh my God, a human. I looked away just for a second. I looked away down the hill, and I looked back at it. Let loose of the tree, and I seen on the ground the body that at the time I thought it was a little one that had jumped off of it and was hitting downhill, but it was on all fours. I could see from like the knee up and from the elbow up. I couldn't see the head, but it was jet black, and it had a silver back just like a gorilla, but I'm still thinking it's a baby, and the big one standing behind that tree, and I'm just about to come up on this tree, and I'm standing right there, and it could reach out and touch me. So I start backing up to where my sister was. I backed up against her, and I really don't want to look where that thing was standing. But when we got there, I kind of did a side glance, and it wasn't there. It was what went down on all fours and took off. So it had went into a brush about 40 feet further down and got out of there. That was the last one. It was also about 3 to 3:30 when I saw that, and it was by where that water was coming out of the ground. I think it was coming to get a drink, because our encounters that we're having up there are usually when we're doing drives to push deer down in the mornings, like around 10, and at night time, well, 3:30, they seem to be up moving around getting ready for their night. That's one of the two time areas that we're seeing them in up there. And like Dad had one where I had that samurai encounter one.
Mm-hmm.
He and my grandfather had one. It was just like Patty's. It was probably a quarter mile from where that samurai sound was. It was just like the Patty film, except for it was walking the other direction. And it was, he said, buff in color and about 6 foot tall. And what's his name? Kelly. Rocky Mountain Sasquatch organization?
Yes, yeah.
He did a story up there on someone. It was an exact story, just like my dad and grandfather's story. And this person saw it. It was roughly the same spot. It was several years later, and the thing was the same color, but it was about 8 feet tall. So I thought that was pretty cool. They're all right in that. And my cousins, the one he saw was the exact same spot I heard my samurai sound.
How many people do you think are up there during hunting season in that particular area?
In that particular zone, it's always sold out. It's a draw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they draw probably, I think it's 150, 200 people. But majority of them take rifle season. They split it up into two. The first one season that opens is archery. And then when it's done, then rifle season opens up. And majority of the people choose rifle season. So when we're out there hunting with archery, when we're having all these encounters, we very rarely run into somebody actually hunting. So
I wonder if rifle season would have less encounters, you know, if they know, they seem to know what a gun is, what a shotgun is, what a rifle is, and the damage that possibly it could do. Not that people that hunt with rifles don't see them, because they do. I just wonder, you know, if there's a difference between those two types of hunting, if there's more or less sightings up there.
I personally think both places I've had encounters are between 6,000 and 7,000 feet. When it hits rifle season, which is like right now, it's getting cold, and there's usually snow up there.
So they're on the move. All the deer and animals are moving down to lower elevations. So I'm sure they don't stay there. You've heard of the Donner Party?
Yes.
Where they got trapped in the snow. That's how the snow gets like 20 feet deep. There's no way they could live there. So they have to, I'm sure, migrate down to lower elevations like all the deer and other animals do. I'm sure they don't hibernate. So that's why I don't think they're up there. I think they're on the move during rifle season.
And during both the fourth encounter and this last encounter, you still didn't really have an idea of what this was. Like, you didn't have a label for this.
No. My fourth encounter, I didn't. I was thinking bear in my mind, but I know my mind was really saw Bigfoot. I was thinking bear. I didn't want to really think it was a Bigfoot, probably because it was scared me to death, mind block or something like that, protecting my mind. But the fifth one where I saw it behind the tree directly looking at me, there was no doubt. It was a Bigfoot.
What other features about this last encounter that you told me? You know, did he have a flat, a gorilla-like face, or like a flat nose? Did you see any teeth, anything like that?
Okay, when he had the branch or the tree pulled over, there was a branch that covered his lips, so I couldn't see his lips, but I could see it's below its nose and its eyes and up. It had short hair on the head, probably maybe an inch to an inch and a half long, and it was like it combed it. It was nicely well-groomed. And you look at the Patty film, you notice how she has a mustache. This one didn't. It had a very high forehead where there was no hair.
Mm-hmm.
There was no cone head on it. It had a round head, and it had a big, clear face of just skin. There was no hair on it, but it did not look human. It was a gorilla looking, and it had I don't remember exactly what the nose was. I remember seeing the big nostril hole because it had its head tipped back in shock. I guess it could have been a cone head, and I just couldn't see it because it was tipped backwards. But from what I saw, it was round, and I saw his nostril holes, which were big. I didn't see any teeth because the branch covered his lips. But on the shoulder, I saw the left shoulder down to the elbow, and the sun was behind it, so it kind of lit it up to where it looked kind of reddish-orange color. But he was really jet black. And also, from his left shoulder to center was probably 2.5 to 3 feet. This thing was probably 5.5 to 6 feet wide at the shoulder.
My God.
He was enormous. And when, like I said, I backed up to my sister when we passed and I looked to where he was standing there, and he was slightly downhill from where I was in the back of the truck. He was still taller than me.
So even though he's downhill. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I'm standing up in the back of the truck. He was still taller than me.
Oh my God. So that's where the 10-foot thing is the estimation on that guy.
Yeah.
And what about the little one? What other details did you see of this little one that was on all fours?
No. I thought there was one jumping off of it.
Gotcha.
And I was expecting him to be behind that tree when I passed it, but it was actually him that went down on all fours
and got
out of there.
I gotcha. Because you've heard that they are just as adept on all fours in that motion as they are on two legs, being bipedal, which should be just, it's so shocking to think of them being able to move that well on all fours.
I know, that's crazy. They can do it either way.
that whole, you know, like a spider crawl thing that they call it. That's just freaky.
Oh, yeah, where they do the out fingers and just pull themselves along.
Yeah. I think that's on my no list. That and looking at one really closely that might have a human looking face, I think would be really, I don't know that I'd want to see that as much as I want to see. Well, let me take that back. I still want to see it, but I think it would really freak me out.
Yeah, it does. When you're not expecting it.
Did you say anything about that one really to anybody?
They did not see it, but they did see the tree shaking back and forth when he released it. And I just said it was a bear. Go on. So.
Really? You're like, nope, nothing to see here. It was you actually labeled that a bear because you were just probably in such shock, right? How do you even begin to explain that to them?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't. If my dad would have stopped there, I would have died.
Right. You just wanted to go. Yeah. I can understand that. Being that close. So, and you even said it was close enough. If he reached out, he could have touched you.
Yeah, if he was still standing there. So I'm glad he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Okay, so number six, we're back over here above Sonora. My last encounter was in 2017. I was going up there for the 41st anniversary of my first, and they turned that where we camped into a public campground now. It has a bathroom, a gravel road that goes in, designated camping spots. And so I could not go up there in 2017 because there was a fire by Yosemite and all the smoke was blowing there. So I had to wait a month. So I went up there in August, mid-August. And I got there on a Friday, set up camp. I took my mom's dog because when I sleep, I'm out. I mean, there could be atomic bomb go off and I wouldn't wake up. So I don't like the idea of anything being outside my tent and me not knowing of it. So I took my mom's dog and I was going to film the area. So the first day I just set up camp. The next day I got up, I filmed the encounter. I set my tent up right where my other tent was originally when I had the first encounter. And I went and I filmed the spot as if I was the Bigfoot, and I followed what it was doing as it went along, as it would have walked. And then up into the point to where it would have, where it walked behind my tent.
Mm-hmm.
And where I was parking and turned in the public tent ground, I had my tent, then there was a patch of bushes, and then the road coming in, and then the bathroom, and they had one of those garbage dumpsters that are bear-proof lids on it. And then they had three of those galvanized trash cans that were up against the bathroom with lids. And they had made this road to where it came in, and at the very end it did a circle, like a turnaround, roundabout, and then came back out on the same road. So there were four other people camping in there, and I was straight across from the bathroom. There was another group that was right next to the bathroom on the other side of the road, and the other people were in the back where it curves around. So, it was Saturday night. I'd already filmed that day. And again, it was probably 1 to 3 in the morning. It was a few days after the full moon. And I woke up to my mom's dog growling, and it was doing a real low growl. And so I made it shut up, and then you could hear walking down the gravel, and it was really light, really light. And I'm thinking, okay, but whatever it was on 2 feet. And I'm going, okay, this is either a really little Bigfoot or this is a bear, smaller bear walking on 2 feet. So it got to the dumpster, and you could hear it messing, trying to open it and get into it, and it couldn't, so it quit. Well, it's still standing on the rocks, and then you hear the garbage can lids from the galvanized ones that were leaning up against the restroom off of the gravel road.
you could hear the lid lift up and go down. Well, the little one, you could hear it step off the road, and it was, now it was on hard ground. And then the thing lifted up the second lid and put it down. And I had a light, a remote control light that I had near my food. So in case a bear came, I could flip it on and hopefully scare it away. And so I flipped it on, and the little one, it stepped back onto the gravel road, and you could hear like a gorilla sound a gorilla would make, or monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the third garbage can lid go up, go down. The little one steps back off the road, and then it's dead silent for like a minute, 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden, pow, you hear this big old hit, like not like a stick hitting a tree. This is like a log hitting a tree. Just bam. And then you hear, you know, when you're hearing lumberjack cut a tree down, it says, you hear that cracking kind of noise, and then you hear the swish, and then boom, it hits. You heard that. It went pow. Then you hear crack, 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 swish, boom. And I'm sure punched a tree, it had to have punched a tree because you heard it bust and crack, and it hit the ground. And then that was it. There was no more sound. So at that point, I knew it was Bigfoot.
I mean, putting those dumpsters there, depending on how long the dumpsters have been there, for maybe even years, that's just like a buffet. They need to come check out and see what's been dumped in there, I suppose. That they probably do it quite often.
You know what's really stupid about that is the one that was bear-proof, the dumpster type thing, was recyclables. Regular garbage within the normal tin can.
Oh gosh, leave it to human beings, right?
Yeah.
What in the world? What about the other people that were camping in the area? Did you talk to anybody the next day? Did they say, "Oh, did you hear that racket?" Or did anything come up?
Okay. Now here's the really weird part. When I wake up, I am in horrible pain. This is like probably 3-4 hours later. I am in horrible pain. I could barely move. Two of the campers had already packed up and left, and two others were still packing. I got out, and I think my sleeping bag and one other thing in my truck, and I was in so much pain. I walked over to one of the camps, and I asked them if they could load my truck up. I said there was no way I could do it. And I laid on the picnic table, and I curled up into a ball. When they got done, I asked them if they could just call 911. And so they went on top of a mountain and got signal reception somehow and called 911. I was sitting there like an hour, and they weren't there. So I got my truck and was going to meet the ambulance coming in off the highway back into where I was. And they carted me off to the hospital. I was in the hospital for 9 days. I had a pancreatitis attack, is what they said. So I don't know if that, when I flipped the light on, they did an infrasound thing and it attacked me or what, but I find it kind of weird that like 3 hours later, I'm going to the hospital.
Well, and everybody else was packing up. They were getting ready to go.
Yeah.
And two of them had already gone, right?
Yes.
Wow.
So I know they heard that big old pow.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were right next to the bathroom would have heard the garbage cans too. But the pow was towards the other two campers that were at the end. So I know they heard that. Everybody had to have heard that.
That
was my 6 encounters.
That's pretty freaky to think that they can do something to you without you even being aware of it, if it is an infrasound situation.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the cause of it.
Right.
If it triggered it, or
it's a strange timing though.
It was just a coincidence. Yeah.
That's really strange timing.
It was kind of odd that it was right then. So, yeah, it was bad.
I mean, when you look up infrasound as far as, you know, military uses for it, it's pretty damn terrifying what it can do to the human body at the various levels. So, yikes. And you were in the hospital for 9 days after that?
Yeah. They said the pain was like a woman giving birth, except there's no let up between the contractions.
Oh, hell no.
That solid pain.
Nope.
So, yeah, I was on lots and lots of really big drugs.
Yeah, I bet. So that was 2017. And I know you have some health stuff going on, but I mean, how did you feel about having all these different encounters? Because they weren't all super benign, I'd say. Some of them were pretty damn scary. So, I mean, do you still go out? Can you still go out? Is there even a want to do so?
Yeah, I'll still go out hunting and stuff. I can go camping out there by myself if I have a dog to listen for what's going on outside. But to actually step out into the woods, I will not do it at all. I will not be by myself. The only time I did it was this year in August. I went up there and I needed to film something at the spot where I had the samurai chatter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... all those trees were gone, and it was now overgrown with manzanita that was really tall. So getting out of the truck, you couldn't see anything, but if anything was in the manzanita, they could see you. So I only stayed there like about 15 seconds, and I got out of there. So, but that was it. But other than that, I will not go into the woods by myself.
I mean, even your first encounter is... something quite remarkable that, you know, it's like striking gold. I mean, to be able to identify it, positively identify it as a Bigfoot, there is no way that was a bear. As your dad said, you know what you saw, even though it was through the fabric of the tent. Even that encounter might put people off the woods and camping and hunting. So it's pretty cool that you're like, well... you know, it's not done anything to me. Of course, unless you count this last time as an infrasound experience. But, I mean, to keep going out like that. And you said something in the beginning. It's like you said, and you may not have an answer for it, but you said they seem to be drawn to you. You know, is there something more to that? Or that's just, you know, something that you say because you have seen, had six experiences.
Yeah, that's why I'm seeing it there. It's not normal for somebody to have that many experiences when some people are wanting to have them and can't.
Right.
And I just seem to go out there and they find me or I find them, one of the two, accidentally. I'm finding them accidentally. They may be purposely finding me. I don't know.
Right. Well, especially when you could have high-fived that big black one. My gosh, you were close enough to give it a high five.
Yeah. If he was standing there, I could have.
Mm.
But I would have been passed out on the ground, though.
Yeah. Bobby, do you think that, and I promise I'll let you go after this. I appreciate you doing this so much. Do you think that, you know, as far as missing people, missing 411, we hear all sorts of different stories and theories with that. Do you think that Bigfoot, in some cases, may be opportunistic and take people from the woods?
Yes, I believe they could and would. I believe they are blood creatures just like us. I don't believe in the interdimensional portals and all that stuff. I think they're just normal flesh and blood just like us. But I do think they would take the opportunity to have a meal if it presented itself.
Right. Especially if they hadn't eaten in a while, right? I mean, why not?
Yeah, but one of the odd things that I find is that from the stories, most of the ones from like California, Oregon, Washington, the Bigfoot encounters are nice to mild, majority of them, but the people like in the Midwest, back east, where there's lots of people and they've shrunk down the forest to almost nothing,
mm-hmm.
their encounters all seem to be majority of them not so nice or to nasty. So they probably get shot at more, I'm guessing. People shoot at them over there because they're so crowded. the population.
Yeah, you have the more laid-back, like Spicoli-type Bigfoot out there in California. They're just a little bit more laid-back, which is good for you, especially since you've seen them so closely, right?
Yeah. I'm not ever going to be able to go back and search in the woods or anything like that. I would absolutely love for somebody to step up and say, hey, I will take over and go check this out and make it a Bigfoot research area. And I would love to go point out where I've had all these encounters, my family and either other, and also other people have reported encounters right in there also, and turn it over somebody to actually go out and investigate it. Because I know that one spot where I had the samurai chatter, I'm pretty sure that area right in there is a bedding area. I don't know if there's a den or something up there, but they all are right in that one area all the time. Well, and then even in my second encounter, I think there's two groups right there. The one where I was in the tree stand and the one right down the road the next year. Oh, I don't know if I told you that. They were about a mile apart.
Oh, my gosh. So super active area. I mean, Bobby, did you want to, we can do it two ways. Either I can have people email me, that way I can kind of vet them kind of just slightly just to make sure they're not, you know, they don't have any ill intentions as far as I can tell. And then I could forward them to you, or you could just give out your email address just straight out of the gate and then have people contact you.
You know what? Probably better go to you, and then you might know these people better.
I agree.
Some of them better than I do. That somebody I could turn it over to that would be trustworthy. You know Kip Morrell?
Yes,
like
love Kip.
Okay, he was a firefighter up in that area, but he moved to Oregon. So he's no longer there.
Right. I know, he'd be perfect for that. Yeah, Kip is incredible. He's such a good dude. I definitely would, if he was in the area, we both would be like high-fiving on having Kip out there. But yeah, he has moved. And yeah, so you guys heard the call to action there. Email me. It sounds like a really good opportunity for someone that is interested in the subject. I sure as hell know that if I was closer, it would be me. But I'm too far. But no, that's awesome, Bobby. Thank you.
I would be glad
to
show you all the spots. Well,
maybe one of these days, because I would sure as heck like to meet you after all these years. Oh, one more thing. Those videos that you've taken, are those things just for you, or are those posted somewhere, or are those things that I could share with folks?
I have some of them posted on my YouTube channel.
And what's that?
Yeah, but they could go look. It's just my name, Bobby, R-E-I-C-H.
Okay, I will link that for everybody, because I know they'd be interested to watch those. Well, cool, Bobby. Well, is there anything that I missed? Anything I should have asked you about?
No, I think that's about pretty much it.
All right, Bobby, have a great day. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such-and-such college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little fire. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. And then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. We'll be right back.
us. They will say, no, we don't believe literally in reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say, reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you're being reincarnated. If you are liberated, you understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.